Grace and peace, the peace of Christ be with you all as we gather for worship on this seventh Sunday of Easter. It's also Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start to summer, at least if you live in Michigan, and it seems like you're in a holiday spirit this morning. So I'm just going to join you in that. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer Kim Finneson, liturgist Roger Kennedy, special musician Sally Potter, and all those who have gathered in person and those who join by way of our Facebook Live ministry. We welcome and affirm all of you, whoever you are and wherever you are, along this journey we call life. So, happy Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be warm, maybe even hot. Yesterday, when we viewed the traffic on I-75 north, it was just dead stopped. Everybody's going north, but you've stayed, and I think we'll make it worth your while today. Deanne has returned safely from Austria. And the return of my better half has made me better off. But as you can see, I didn't starve. It just, she kind of busted me because I forgot to put away a Dairy Queen receipt that was in the car. She was very nice to me, though. And actually, she gave me a treat that came from Austria. Rum-flavored chocolate bars. How about that? Pretty cool. So Barb Fuller, along with her husband Jerry, are enjoying a time in Richmond, Virginia, but we thank her for her capable work on the piano in Deanne's absence. And thanks to those who are helping us with the hymns today and for being here on the beginning of summer holiday known as Memorial Day weekend. If you were here, as some of you were, to help finish the preparation for our Advent house lunches. Thank you for that, especially Linda and Ina, who made the delivery to Advent House, which is an important ministry, an extended arm of ministry of our church. Some ministries of our church have been restricted during our recent rise in COVID cases, and many of you have important plans for summer vacations and family get-togethers. But church services will continue, and we will do everything we can to facilitate unity and togetherness as we keep in touch, pray for one another, and get together for fellowship as often and safely as possible. Today's worship theme is unity in the beloved community. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and the vestments will be unusual because it only happens two or three times a year. They'll be red in color. I'll be wearing a red stole, and it's a memory for me because it will mark 5 years when I first stood in this pulpit on Pentecost Sunday, June 4th, 2017. That was my candidate sermon. And remember that Rilla, who was our lay leader at that time, made invitation to me. I was thrilled, but a little worried until the vote took place. And here I am 5 years later. If you want to wear something red next week, I see some of you wearing it today. Red is all, it can also be a very appropriate color for Pentecost Sunday. With that, let us now worship God.
A lot of us learn this as one man's hands, but, and I guess that's still the title, but when you look in modern songbooks, it says, just my hands, and then the second verse is, just your hands. So if you know this, please feel free to sing along. Just my hands can't fill the world with love. Just your hands can't fill the world with love. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round. Sound familiar? just my strength can't break the color bar. Just your strength can't break the color bar. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round. Just my eyes can't see the road ahead. Just my eyes can't see the road ahead. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round. Just my voice can't shout to make 'em hear. Just your voice can't shout to make 'em hear. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round. Just my feet can't walk around the land. Just my feet can't walk around the land. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round. Just my hands can't build a bridge of peace. Just my hands can't build a bridge of peace. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come around. But if 2 and 2 and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to worship, Mayflower. On this Memorial Day weekend, we gather as the beloved community, pausing to honor and remember all those who have served our country, especially those who have died, with a moment of silence. Today's theme is Unity in the Beloved Community. We cherish our togetherness, friendships, and connections within the Mayflower family. In today's lectionary reading, Jesus did not call for doctrinal unity, organizational unity, or political unity. Rather, the unity Jesus describes is rooted in our love of God, received and shared among Jesus' followers as we follow his example of unconditional love, welcoming affirmation, nonviolence, and sacrificial devotion to serving others. As we continue in worship, may the bonds of love and unity grow stronger as we are inspired by music, scripture, prayer, and the spoken word to be more diligent in responding to our call to love and serve in the name and spirit of Christ. Thanks be to God.
We are the blessed receiver.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have gathered in the name and spirit of Christ to worship God. We ask you to help us be the answer to Jesus' prayer for unity in an age when divisions are tearing away the fabric of our society, the strength of our neighborhoods, and the effectiveness of the church. Help us to understand that our love for God and others is far more than a feeling, but a choice and a decision. May each aspect of today's worship lead us to proactively love each other, thereby giving us a template to love our neighbors and pray for and forgive our enemies. In that spirit of love and unity, may we overlook faults, exercise the golden rule, and in so doing, increase our faith. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
This song was written by Pat Humphreys. She's a very well-known singer-songwriter, performer in the folk music genre. She lived here in probably from 84 to 89, and she wrote this in 1986. So this was written in Lansing, Michigan, probably on the 300 block of South Holmes, where many of us lived. In a many-colored garden, we are growing side by side. We will rise all together, we will rise. With the sun and rain upon us, not a rose shall be denied. We'll rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. In our many-colored fabrics, made from strands of common thread, we will rise all together, we will rise. We can feed our grain to cattle, and the rich man will be fed. We will rise all together, we will rise. Or we'll feed our grain to people, so that millions will have bread. We will rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. No more will there be hunger in these strands of common thread. We will rise all together, we will rise. In the cold of fear and hatred, clothed in dignity we stand. We will rise all together, we will rise. We have pieced this quilt together, making hearts with stitching hands. We will rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. We are spirits drawn together tightly by our common threads. We will rise all together, we will rise. From our children to our elders, from all nations we will rise. We will rise all together, we will rise. May respect for all our differences enhance our common ties. We'll rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. We will build a global family strengthened by our common threads. We will rise all together, we will rise. In our many-colored garden, we are growing side by side. We'll rise all together, we will rise. With the sun and rain upon us, not a rose shall be denied. We'll rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. In our many-colored fabrics made from strands of common thread, we will rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. In our many-colored fabrics made from strands of common thread, we will rise all together, we will rise. We will rise all together, we will rise.
Pat Humphreys.
I think it would be easier to fly an airplane, as I have done, than to try to learn how to play a banjo. That seems harder than flying an airplane. And Sally, I always love the note of hope that is in those beautiful songs. Thank you. Unity in the beloved community cannot be fully experienced and known without the faithful commitments of those who care. Thanks for your faithful caring and sharing, Mayflower. It makes a difference as we now take this opportunity to worship God with the giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, and our resources. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious and loving Lord, today as a pastor, I confess that in the wake of the events of this past week, where precious children and a dedicated teacher were brutally murdered with a weapon of mass destruction, I don't know how to pray. There will be millions of people who walk into churches this morning and hear prayers offered for the victims and their families. Then they will hear how important their constitutional rights are and that any attempt to restrict is an assault on our freedoms. I confess, Lord, I do not understand that line of thinking within the community of Christ. But as I search my heart in this day when the sacrifices made on behalf of those who died are honored, I pray for our country. I do not believe that we have more evil people than other developed countries who do not share our fascination and love of guns. But I do pray for our military personnel, our police officers and first responders, the vast majority of whom would not use a firearm unless it was the last resort, and who do their best to keep the peace, de-escalate conflict, and aid those in peril. As I heard recently, the pleas and difficulty of a 23-year veteran of the Lansing Police Force, I pray for all officers in the Lansing City Police. Lord, I think you have, and you do have, much to say about this. So I ask you to speak to us right now as we pray for a sanity to enter our national debate. May it be a beginning of what you prayed for your disciples and for us, that we could experience unity and reciprocal love as you lived and taught. If it can't happen in our country, may it always happen in our church. Help us to set the example for the world as we pray and care and love our own. And may it spill over to our neighbors, to our community, to our nation, and to the world. With that, we pray for Meredith Kennedy, Leslie Timmons, Paula Finneson, Don Lewis, Linda Fryer, Marge Cook, and others on our prayer list with continuing issues of injury, rehabilitation, chronic illness, arduous medical treatment. So we pray for James and Marion Potts, Jerry Moore, Judy Braska, Carl Watkins, Sheila Reinbrandt, Debbie Conlin, Mike Miller, and others we think of and perhaps mention now. Thank you, Lord, for the network of care and prayer which we all depend on. Be with us now as we pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Before I read the scriptures this morning, I just want to say thank you for your prayers. I believe that there were prayers going up for me when I was on my trip because the Lord was with me and we had a wonderful time. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip. But it is also wonderful to be back with you today, my church family. This is a wonderful experience for me. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of my life. Our reading today is from the Gospel, John chapter 7, verses 20 through 26. And in today's reading, Jesus offers a prayer for unity among his followers. In his prayer, Jesus prays for oneness in the beloved community as he reinforces the idea that nothing else is more effective in extending that love beyond the four walls of the church. So hear now these words. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, thanks for good weather on Memorial Day weekend. I think we deserve it. But Lord, now we thank you for the opportunity to come together on regular basis, that freedom that we enjoy. Bless us now. Amen. Well, we get along exceptionally well here at Mayflower for the most part. So why would we need a sermon on unity in the church? Good question. One answer would be the use of the lectionary. I don't choose sermon topics and worship themes based on what I think you might need today. Although I hope that sometimes that happens. I don't choose lectionary chapters or verses or passages because I think something's wrong in the church and I want to fix it. The lectionary, if you haven't noticed, is designed to move across the whole of Scripture to provide familiarity and perspective from the pages of Scripture. Within those pages are stories of faith. And we gain perspective on multiple matters of faith. Today we discover a little bit more fully what it means to be the church. And in so doing, we are defining, writing, and rewriting our own story of faith. The second reason we might benefit from a sermon on church unity is the time in which we live. As I have mentioned before, we have just now entered a new era when going to church is no longer mainstream in our society. Less than half of the population, and now it's 47%, identify as members or active participants in a faith community. A very steep drop-off of about 20 percentage points in the last two decades, just 20 years. And it remained steady for several decades before then. Several factors are in play, the most significant being the rise in those who do not identify with any organized religion, particularly among millennials. Additionally, those who are religious are less likely to attend church on a regular basis. And now, because of the upheaval created by the pandemic, the trends are accelerating, especially in view of the shift toward online streaming options for the church. As important as that is and will continue to be. In most of our lifetimes, we have seen dramatic changes in attitudes toward church life. It can be unsettling for those of us who have taken church and its popularity and our culture for granted. When this building was built in 1959, pretty much all you had to do was open the doors and the people would stream in, at least seemingly. Do you long for those times? By the way, what was the reason you came to church this morning? I'm not in the business of bemoaning our culture or speaking negatively about the youth in our society. I have great hope for our country with the youth of today, and I know many of them. A large part of the failure of the church to reach the younger generation rests upon the church itself, as its relevance has dramatically diminished. One reason is that in our culture, we have had a large smorgasbord of self-serving options for church, none of which promote unity. If you want to be rich, you can find a church that tells you that is exactly what God wants you to be. If you are misogynist, you can find many churches where the status of women is marginalized by restrictions on leadership, teaching, and ordination. If you don't like the politics of certain churches, there is a pew with your name on it that will equate your political beliefs with your religious beliefs. If you're a hateful person, you will find plenty of preachers who will spew enough hate to last you for a week. For those who think it is a good idea to invade other countries, you can always find justification in religious communities with the battle cry that God is on our side. If you want to find a church that engages in the fight for who does religion right and who does it wrong, help yourself. If you think what is good for America is good for God, you will find plenty of churches that reinforce that notion. I drove by one this morning, by what I saw in the parking lot, with all due respect. Then there are the scandals. First, it was a few of the well-known television evangelists whose sexual and financial improprieties produced mockeries that were aimed at all things religious, especially if you watch Saturday Night Live. Then came the scandals of sexual molestation of children, particularly among Roman Catholic priests, some who were found to be pedophiles. The scandals were worsened by cover-ups in the hierarchy of the church as priests were protected and allowed to be placed in different locations where the atrocities usually continued. By the way, have you ever seen the movie Spotlight? If you haven't, that's a true story of a group of reporters in Boston that did some research. As a result, the decline in membership and participation has been more pronounced among Catholics than Protestant. But if you read the news this week, you'll see that that's changing. The largest Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, and this is as public could be, is going through a scandal which has rocked it to its core. After years of ignoring and belittling the pleas of women who have been sexually abused by pastors, youth ministers, volunteers, and denominational executives, the executive committee of the convention just released the names of hundreds of known abusers from a list that was kept secret for years to protect the institution at the expense of victims and individuals. While not all related to scandal, the Southern Baptist Convention, again, that's the largest Protestant denomination, has lost over 1 million members in the last 3 years, and over 2 million since 2006, when membership peaked at over 16 million members. Another reason for membership decline is because of the emphasis upon fear, which is at the root of much religious conviction, causing many people of faith to want to police the way that others choose to live their lives. And all you have to do is turn on the nightly news to see the effects of that. Unfortunately, the many denominations in the Christian church look like a scandal to the unity of faith, as dogmas and creeds prevent a fresh look at contemporary theological issues. And church traditions can often overrule the creative energy of newer and younger congregants. Doctrinal disputes, even within a denomination, often create unbridgeable divides. These impediments to unity are not the exception, but rather the rule, thereby creating division in the very entity that Jesus prayed to be united. There is another way. It has become exceedingly more rare, but it is the way of Jesus. The passage read today was not a last-minute set of instructions Jesus left with his disciples before his death, but a prayer for the disciples of Jesus and all who would become disciples. Jesus prayed for his disciples and he prayed for us. He prayed for a oneness of spirit, purpose, and mission. A church without unity is a church without a mission. In the examination of this prayer, and by the way, it is called the Great High Priestly Prayer of Jesus, Jesus used the template of a most primary family relationship, that of a relationship between a father and son, when the two are one. He desired for his disciples and for us the same type of relationship, which is the way the disciples understood their relationship to God as they listened to this prayer for unity. In this most basic of family connections, I can relate. In spite of the childhood issues some of you know about that I had with my father and the difficulties of navigating the effects of the abuse he suffered as a youth, Dad and I shared many things in common, and we enjoyed much oneness, especially in the things we loved to do together as adults and children, or when I was a child, including ball games. A visit to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Train rides. My dad loved trains. Vacations to the Upper Peninsula. He gave me $10 one time for dipping in the waters of Lake Superior because it was about 55 degrees. I deserve more than $10, let me tell you. When I moved to Virginia, he came down and we explored Civil War sites. In his fascination with the history of the Great Lakes, especially of the maritime stories of survival and heroism. We loved to visit museums, take back roads, enjoy a lemon velvet milkshake at Dairy Queen, you can't get those anymore, and watch the Weather Channel. For those things and much more, I miss my dad. Every time I walk into a basketball gymnasium, visit a baseball diamond, go into a museum, or get behind a pulpit, I think of him. When it comes to the difficulties I experienced as a child with my dad, I am reminded of the dichotomy of human existence and human experience. In the case of almost all of our close human relationships, there is the ideal, and then there is the reality. When I give the charge in wedding ceremonies where I am called upon to officiate with counsel, I lift up the ideas of self-giving, self-sacrificing love, where arguments are settled and offenses forgotten at the close of each day, thereby preventing any bad day in marriage. However, if I stop there, I would seem a little out of touch. In the best of marriages and the best of relationships, there must be a recognition of all our humanity. We have our faults, and we make our mistakes. Those who live with us and love us must be patient and understanding, willing to forgive and to forget. You've just heard part of the wedding ceremony. Sometimes love is easy and graceful. It's like a dance. When the dance card is full, other times it becomes difficult and arduous. So it is within the beloved community, any beloved community. Jesus rebuked the disciples often, especially for Peter, for his empty promises of loyalty. Oh, Jesus, I'll be there for you. And his lack of faith. He rebuked others, including James and John, for inquiring of Jesus whether they could have a special place in the kingdom of heaven. While there may be no sin involved, I would suggest that the disciples might have had to forgive Jesus. That's a question you might not have thought about. How about when Jesus called Peter Satan? He might have embarrassed Peter when Peter tried unsuccessfully to walk on water while the other disciples looked on, probably laughing. And the disciples might have had to forgive Jesus for loving one disciple more than the others. Well, we'll never know. And I hope I don't sound like a heretic. It's just something that my brother-in-law Paul calls theatrical hermeneutics. There is glory and a unity of love to which Jesus alludes in his prayer. And the Apostle Paul reiterates in one of his letters to the church at Colossae in chapter 3:14 that love binds everything together in perfect harmony. The writer of the Gospel of John begins the Gospel by speaking of the cosmic Christ, alluding to the eternal connectedness of all existence, referring to God's purpose of unity with Christ in creation. But our awareness of disunity, sometimes within beloved communities, can be fresh in our minds and we all have some ghost stories to share. Every church has ghost stories. Disunity in the church, including broken relationships, disappointments in leaders, and the pain that accompanies it, serves to call us to an essential understanding of the reciprocal nature of love Jesus prays for and calls us to, that of our dependence upon God for life and the embracing of repentance and restoration. The God-given unity Jesus prayed for recalls biblical themes of loss and restoration, exile and homecoming, wilderness and promised land, repentance and forgiveness. Since I was blessed with two sons, in the Spirit of Christ, I have tried to cultivate oneness by being honest with my own failures in life, even as I try to set a good example for them as they navigate the difficulties of their lives and their relationships. It does pay dividends in spite of their often humorous and yet penetrating reminders of my worst sins and most visible weaknesses. They love me, and I love them. And that is an example of reciprocal love. But whether it is father-son, mother-daughter, brother-sister, husband-wife, best friend to best friend, or pastor-congregant, there is something profound and unique about intimate relationships where the complications and meaning of life can be shared. Where love is unconditional, where judgment is non-existent, where laughter is prevalent, where grief and sorrow can be shared openly, where confidences are guarded, where forgiveness is automatic, and where faults are overlooked. I hope you have at least one person in your life where all this is true. Hopefully you have many. And it should be true within the beloved community. In fact, it is why it is a beloved community. Now, certainly people can have Damascus Road experiences. They can encounter God through nature, have an epiphany, or perhaps a brush with death. But I venture to say that most encounters with God happen within a unified and beloved community. I hope one is happening right now. Thanks be to God. Yeah. Well, as Deanne mentioned earlier, she said that even though she had a great time, she was anxious to come back here to Mayflower, and I can attest to that, because I want to tell you, folks, I don't think it's this way with every pastor that faces difficulty and opposition in a church, but Sunday morning is our favorite time of the week. It's to come and see your faces, feel your love, gather our support together, and go out into the world and make a difference, especially in doing away with all of our false divisions, like the song we just sung. So, may you go in peace and in the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
My mic on? Is it on? Oops. Not yet. Okay, let's see what color I got down here. It is green. Yeah, it is green. All right, thank you. Well, folks, this is a holiday Sunday, and some of you might be ready to go see family or jump in the lake. But we're not here to tell each other to jump in the lake, are we? So we are not going to gather in the Friendship Center today. But you're free to gather here. Even I think the musicians that are going to rehearse will give you a little time if you just want to enjoy the unity of love and grace that we experience within that beloved community. God bless you, folks. I'm so happy to see you all. I want you to have a great day tomorrow. It's going to be warm. It's going to be even hot. But hey, hot in Michigan at this time of year is kind of something we look forward to, right? So thank you, folks. You made an effort to be here. And you know, just the number of people here today kind of puts a little extra step in me. It's good to see you all. Bless you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. That's why God made you here.